Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 31st, 2021. A meal of gratitude. Question: You have often recounted how your teacher held meals. Their meals included onions, olive oil, bread, salt, pepper. Was this simple diet chosen on purpose so that the food didn't interfere with the intention? Or was there some other reason? Answer: It was at the very beginning of my journey. When I came to class in the evenings, I went into the kitchen to make myself a cup of coffee and saw simple plastic plates with slices of half-eaten bread and the remains of chopped, peppered onions sprinkled with olive oil. There were always a couple of empty beer bottles nearby. It turned out that 5 to 6 students of my Rav's father Balha Sulam, old people already more than 70 years old, gathered together for classes and every evening finished their day with a meal. I don't think they needed any other food, that was enough for them in the evenings. Such food represents a meal of gratitude to the Creator, gratitude to each other for the fact that they gathered, studied together, and comprehended the universe in their studies. It was with this gratitude to the Creator that they ended their day. Question: Would you agree that if they had some kind of sophisticated diet, special, very tasty dishes, it would probably be harder to keep the intention of why you are doing this? Was that why such a simple food was specially chosen? Answer: I don't think it would be difficult for them. Such a modest meal is not arranged for this. You just don't need more. This is no ordinary lunch or dinner. With such a symbolic meal, friends who have lived together for 50 to 60 years sat down at the table and ended their day in this way. By this joint union, they emphasized their spiritual exaltation. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, July 9, 2021. The property of serpent in man. If we consider the biblical story of Adam and Eve from a spiritual point of view, then first the property of Adam is revealed in a person: he feels good, calm, he does not harm anyone. Then the egoistic property Eve is revealed, and then the property of the serpent. After Adam and Eve started to feel their egoism, they revealed the feeling of shame. They needed to get dressed, that is, to acquire some property of bestowal in order to hide their nakedness. When a person feels his inner properties, feels the egoism in him, along with the property of bestowal, and evaluates one against the other, he starts to feel vicious and as if hides it in himself under his clothes. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 16. The cry of a teacher's soul. Question: A teacher, who has always considered teaching as her vocation, loves her work very much, and loves children, writes to you: I have been teaching for 20 years. I watched your clip where you say that school destroys the individuality of the child and that wrong things are being taught. I was trained to teach mathematics and I am teaching it. You say, the problem is with teachers. Is there no problem with children? Answer: The matter, of course, is not in mathematics but in the general attitude of a person to person, a child to a teacher. It is natural that children have complaints against their elders. They believe that everyone knows them and that they, as children, deserve special attention and treatment. And in fact it is so on one hand. On the other hand, we do not educate children. Comment: But this teacher educates. She writes that she invests in them. My response: She put mathematics into them but not an attitude to people. That is the problem. And this has nothing to do with mathematics or any other subject. This is the most important subject schools should teach. And it is not there. There are no such subjects in school, such lessons, such exams, nothing. There is discipline. School does not transform a child into a person. It makes him a physicist, a mathematician, someone who knows how to tighten the screws, and so on. Question: Is this why such an answer is so essential for her? It is humiliating the teacher in front of the whole class. Answer: a student does not even feel this, or he feels like a hero, an open, straightforward person. It seems to him that he did absolutely right. Comment: but she sat with him in the evenings preparing him for the Olympics. My response: it does not matter. She did all this because she is a teacher. She still did not bring up a person in him, and that is what she gets in return. This is not her problem. It is the problem of all education and upbringing. We give children some kind of education, but we do not give upbringing. They leave school, every day after school and generally at the end of school, and they are beasts. Comment: you said a terrible thing, they are beasts. And we are to blame for this? My response: of course. If parents are always busy at work and children are at school or somewhere with each other doing who knows what and how, what do you expect? Comment: they are mostly on their smartphones. My response: and that is what they get from there. This will continue until humanity comes to its senses and takes the whole matter into its own hands under the strictest control. Because a person cannot see and hear everything that is given to him. He must be brought up. And upbringing involves a very serious attitude to life. If this does not happen, then we see where everything is going. Even scientists now measure the existence of humanity in decades. Question: what would you do in her place? Now she is faced with such a question: should she enter the completely silent class? The whole class was silent. Answer: it is necessary to explain to everyone, to work on her mistakes and mistakes of all teachers, all students, in order to understand where this terrible flaw in education is. Question: do you think that teachers, the principal, and the students can sit down and talk about this? Can such a conversation happen? Answer: I think it can. It depends on the class, of course. Comment: in high school, for example. My response: it can. Question: so the children are ready to have such a conversation with them? Answer: if you do not speak, nothing will come of it. Then it will all be in vain. And, of course, it will be a pity for all her tears and efforts. I sympathize with her, I understand her, but she cannot relate to it the way she got used to during those decades of her work. Question: you mean when she was respected as a teacher? When they would say thank you? Answer: yes. She respected herself. Question: now a generation has grown up that says terrible things to your face. And we raised it? Answer: of course. We did. Question: so we need to sit down together and talk. What would you say to children if you were a teacher? Answer: let's understand our life, our relationships. Well, okay, we are already old people. But you are the next generation. What should you be like to make life kind, good, safe, reliable, and so on? And what should we do? How can we raise such people? We need to talk about it, we need to think about it. Because our main goal is to raise a person, not a mathematician, a physicist, or anything else. Comment: it will not be easy to soften them up. Answer: no. There is no need to soften them up. They should realize at least somewhat that the world to which everything is heading is inhuman, cruel, and mechanical, a very unpleasant world, unsuitable for existence. Question: and they will understand this if we talk to them? Answer: I think so. Question: can these children change? Answer: yes, but not with one conversation. Question: so the change will happen through a series of conversations? Answer: even if it is several years. What is the difference? We have to push it all the time. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 5, 2020. There were no mistakes in your life. Igor writes: I am 54 years old, married with two children, and both my father and mother are alive. My father is 84, my mother is 82. I always took care of their health, but everything turned upside down. The doctors say that I have no more than 6 months left to live. I found you too late. I watch your programs and I am not afraid. There is just one question, why so late? I spent so much time on needless worries and on work that no one needed. I have a big complaint against the Creator. I understand that one should not look back and regret anything, but I cannot help myself. I did not live my life right. I look at my children and I am afraid that they will repeat my mistakes. I just wanted to say thank you. My response, I will tell you, Igor. Everything was correct. There were absolutely no mistakes in your life. You must accept all of it as a correct attitude to life, to the Creator on your part. You just have to calm down. If you relate to the whole of nature, life, the universe, everything, and yourself as a manifestation of the Creator, then there is nothing you have to do, nothing to worry about. You should only think about how to agree as much as possible with what is happening to you. Then, through this attitude of complete agreement, you will begin to feel the Creator. I am advising this to you and to everyone. Let go of the situation and do not worry. Stop the confusing complaints. None of that is needed. Everything happens as it should happen. While it seems to us that we are running around, redoing things, and trying to get everything done in time, this is all nonsense. It does not change anything. We are always trying to do something, as it seems to us, while the Creator does His own thing. So, we end up being unhappy when things do not work out the way we want them to. Let it all go and you will see that you have nothing to worry about, not in the present or in the past, and especially do not worry about the future. It is all in the hands of that very same upper force. Comment, can it possibly be that? I have to tell you, I was touched, because he is not writing about being afraid of death or afraid of anything. He is touched by the fact that he found us, too late, in a manner of speaking, that he somehow lived his life. My response, this, too, is incorrect, and this, too, is the upper providence. So, nothing is too late, everything that is given to you is given correctly. Use the strength and the time that you have to the extent that you are now inspired by our idea, our path, and everything will be good. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 24, 2021. Jerusalem, at the center of attention. We look at Jerusalem and see a beautiful city, streets, and houses. But if we could look at it from the inside as one looks at the reverse side of embroidery, we would see the knots and stitches, meaning, the hidden connections that exist between all parts of this beautiful picture. Then we would understand that it is called to exist purely for the sake of the upper force, at the expense of our strong desire and request to be pressured to unite so that love would cover all crimes. If we can connect with ties of love, unity, and fellowship, we will make Jerusalem the spiritual center for all of humanity. It will become a source of strength for all people and will spread the energy of unification and brotherhood throughout the earth. The light of Jerusalem illuminates the whole world. It all depends on how much we want to see it. If we want to connect, through this yearning we will be able to reveal and witness the true Jerusalem. All we have to do is help each other remain aimed toward peace, perfection, and unification. It is said that anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. That is, anyone who regrets that Jerusalem was destroyed and cannot be restored, that it is unable to convey its power of unification and love, the union of corporeal and spiritual worlds, to people. This is truly a great misfortune. Everything depends on the people, or rather, on the Jews living in the land of Israel, and especially on those living in Jerusalem, on their willingness to make efforts and their desire to ensure that all parts of this city become united and all hostility ends. The Jews living in Jerusalem have been in constant strife for thousands of years until the present day. In addition, there are disputes between all other nations who inhabit Jerusalem, which tear this city to pieces. However, everything depends on the people of Israel. If the Jews living in Jerusalem want to unite over all differences or traditions, then this city will again become the city of peace. A whole city as its name Yerushalem, Yerushalayim, implies. The unification of the people of Israel in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, carries a special power due to which all nations will also want to unite around us, provided that we want it to happen. After all, it is impossible to give pleasure to the Creator if we are not united and do not strive to connect all the nations of the world to ourselves. The people of Israel came out of ancient Babylon where the 70 nations of the world lived in order to unite among themselves. 3,500 years have passed since then, but we are still not ready for this unity between us, as a result of which peace will reign on earth for all people. Everything depends on the unification of the people of Israel. The problem is only in us, and therefore, it is not surprising that in our time, which Kabbalah calls the last generation, the time of final correction, all the nations of the world are beginning to put pressure on the nation of Israel to oblige them to unite. Once the center of unity is established in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, we will be able to provide this point of unity for all nations to unite around us. So the whole world will come to peace and perfection. The unification of the whole world on the human level is possible only around Israel and together with the people of Israel. Therefore, all eyes, all attention, is drawn to the land of Israel and to Jerusalem more and more. And it will not subside. On the contrary, it will grow more persistently and will oblige us to achieve unity among us and lead to world peace. From CAB TV's The Peace, May 25, 2021.